Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Rosh Hashanah daf Yud Ches. We left off on daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Toshima, about 6 lines from the end of the page. Today's year is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, by the Newmans, in honor of Eliza and AJ's wedding, by Vivian and Menachem Rosenberg and family to commemorate the Shloshim of Menachem's father, Yisrael ben Avraham Moshe Zechrono Livracha, on the 29th of Cheshvan, by Henry Orlinsky, Lizech Nishmas Harabinit Fredel Weiss, Allah Shalom, mother of Rav Agon Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, by Daniel and Etty Hirschberg, in memory of their cousin, Rabbi David Keen, Allah Shalom, who passed away at an untimely age this week, Rabbi Keen at Smicha from YU and was known for his chesed as a hospital chaplain, and also Le'iloi Nishmas Yeshaya Naftali Hertz Ben Moshe Aaron Neil Tully Auerbach by Cindy and Avi Schreier and family. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding again Yud Zayin and Beis, and we're in the middle of discussing when it is that Hashem tears up a Gzar Din and when does He not tear up a Gzar Din. So we're in the middle of asking all of these different questions on the idea that tshuva has the ability to tear up a gzar din. So we're going to have one final question on that idea, one final challenge to that idea, where it seems that tshuva does not have the ability to tear up a gzar din. And then the Gemara is going to discuss how it is that you can have two people in the same situation and yet they have different results. The two people in the same hospital room with the same illness, with the same condition, and one of them makes it and the other one doesn't. How do we explain that phenomenon? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the power of a gzar din with a shavua, that if Hashem takes a Shavua together with the Gzar Din, so that's like the kind of Gzar Din that was made against the Beis Eli. And we're going to talk a little bit about that Gzar Din against the Beis Eli, and if there's any way around that Gzar Din against the Beis Eli. Then the Gemara is going to ask a stira between, on the one hand, we have Dirshu Hashem Behimatzo, that the time to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is when He makes Himself available, that there are specific times where Hashem is available. Yet on the other hand, B'chol Kareinu Elav, whenever we call out to Hashem. So which is it? Do we get to call out to Hashem whenever we want and He's always available, or is it only at specific times? And then we're also going to describe why it is that the Mishnah, when it talks about the judgment of people on Rosh Hashanah, it says that kol bayolam holchum fun of kivnei maron. What does the term kivnei maron actually mean? And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to shift gears. The Mishnah is going to talk about the 6 months of the year that it was important for Shluchei Beis Din to go out and let people know about the Kiddush HaChodesh, because there were going to be important events that were happening that month, important dates that were happening that month. So it was very important during those 6 months that we knew exactly when Rosh Chodesh was. The Gemara is going to discuss the difference between Tisha B'Av versus other fasts, because the Shluchim would go out just to tell people when Tisha B'Av is going to be. So why not have that by every single fast on the calendar? Then the Gemara is going to have Machlokas in how to identify when the Pasuk says Tzom Ha'asiri, which fast that's talking about, and how that's going to fit in the sequence in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk lists a whole bunch of fasts, and according to one of the opinions of what Tzom HaAsiri is referring to, chronologically it was really the first one, even though it's listed last in the Pasuk. So we're going to have a machlokas about what Tzom HaAsiri really means, and then at the end of the daf, we're going to have a machlokas about Megillas Tainis, the list of days that we're not allowed to have Hesped and we're not allowed to have Tainis, because they were Yom Tovim, they were declared as Quasi Yom Tovim. Do we assume Batla Megillas Tainis, or do we assume love but the Megillas Tainis? Do we assume Megillas Tainis is still in effect or not? So that's going to be at the very end of the daf. So we left off at Tashima, a fourth and final challenge to the idea that tshuva can tear up an already existing gzar din. So shala baluria hagiyoris says from Gamliel, baluria hagiyoris says from Gamliel the following ksiv b'taraschem. It says in your Torah asher lo yisapanim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show favor doesn't play favorites. He doesn't show favor to anybody because they're great or because they're rich or because they're powerful. Uksiv yis Hashem panav elecha, but the pasuk says Hashem is no sepanim to those who he judges. So Nitbala Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen decided he was going to be the one to answer this question. Amar la, and he said, Em shalucha mashal ma'adav v'dome. Let me give you a mashal. La'adam shenosha b'chavei ramana. A person owes his friend $100. V'kavlo zman b'fnei ha-melech. And he promises to pay him back by a certain time in front of the king. He makes the promise in front of the king, which gives a little bit of teeth to the promise, because not only was there a witness, but it was the king who was the witness. But then he went further. further. V'nishpalo b'chaye ha-melech, and he swore to his friend, I'll pay you back by this time, and I swear by the life of the king that I'm going to do so. He gives man v'lopra'o, and then the time came, and he didn't pay him back. So balafayis ha-melech, he went to apologize to the king, and to ask mechila, I swore by your life, and now I didn't pay it back. So amar lo, the king says to him, elboni machalach, the bizyonus you showed me by swearing by my life, and then not following through on it, I could be mochel that, but you still owe $100. Lechu fayesus chavircha, but you still need to go to the other guy because you still beikar, you still owe him the money. So hachanami over here also with the stira in the psukim whether our kadosh baruch is nosei panim or not is kan ba'aver shmirah l'makom when it says yisha Hashem panav elecha, Hashem could show us all the favor he wants when it's a sin toward him. But kan ba'aver shmirah l'chavero. But when it comes to aver shmirah l'chavero, we need to go to chavero. It's not Hashem's elbon to forgive. It's not Hashem's bizayon to forgive. Ad shabar Rabbi Akiva v'limed, and that was the answer that was accepted until Rabbi Akiva came and gave a different answer. And Rabbi Akiva said, "Kan kodem gzardin, kan liachar gzardin." That before the gzardin, Hakadosh Baruch Hu is nosei panim to Klal Yisrael. He shows us favor, but after the gzardin, it's too late. You cannot be korea the gzardin anymore. So you see from here that gzardin does not get torn up, even al yedei tshuva. That liachar gzardin, there's no more nosei panim to Klal Yisrael. If we assume Rabbi Akiva's answer to this question is correct, then we have a challenge on the idea that tshuva could always be mekareya gzardin, because here you see that it's not mekareya gzardin. Since it's a Gemara, when Rabbi Kiva says that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not nosei panim, that's after the gzardin. After the gzardin, that's dafko by yachid, that Hashem is not going to be korea after the gzardin. But when it comes to a tzibur, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be korea after the gzardin al yedei tshuva. Now, why did Rabbi Kiva have to give an answer to begin with? I mean, we already had an answer. We had a whole mashal with a king and an answer. The difference between menon l'chaver and menon l'makom. What was wrong with that answer? That answer seems to work. So in the Sefer Karban Reishis, he suggests that if you look in the sugya at the end of Maseches Yuma, and daf pei heyam and beis, the Gemara darshins, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah darshins, from kol chatoseichem lefnei Hashem titaru, that averish menon l'makom are atoned for in Yom Kippur, but Menon Mechaveru Yom Kippur is not going to be Mechaper for, because the Nesias Panim Yisrael is Dafka B'Yom HaKippurim, where there's no Rishus for the Yetzer Hara to be Mastin against us. And we say that Nesias Panim is on Yom Kippur, and that only works for Menon Mechaveru, doesn't work for Menon Mechaveru. So that aligns very nicely with the first answer the Gemara gave, that Hashem will be Nosei Panim. Rabbi Yosef Cohen's answer, that Hashem will be Nosei Panim when it comes to Ben Adam L'makom, and that's what Yom Kippur is all about for Ben L'makom, but he's not going to be Nosei Panim when it comes to Ben L'chaveru. But if you look in that sugya, Rabbi Akiva darshins the pasuk differently. So apparently Rabbi Akiva doesn't learn that Yom Kippur is only Mechaper for Ben L'makom, not Ben L'chaveru. Apparently he doesn't make that distinction, and that's what motivates Rabbi Akiva to come and give a different distinction, that kan kodem gzardin and kan liachar gzardin. And it's that distinction that Rabbi Akiva makes that the Gemara over here uses as the challenge to the idea that tshuva could be mekareya gzardino. But at the end of the day, the way we seem to be setting up the rule is, can tshuva be koreya gzardin? Yes, but only a gzardin gzardin shal rabin. But a gzardin shal yachid is not going to be nikra even al yedei tshuva. Says the Gemara, not so clear. Ugzardin de yachid tanayihi, that even that which we said, that a gzardin shal yachid is never going to be torn up, that's really subject to a machlokas. Titanya hayur Rabbi Meir Omer, Shnayim Shalu Lamita. If you have two people that become ill, V'chol Yon Shava, they're suffering the same illness, they have the same prognosis. V'chein Shnayim Shalu L'gardum Lidon. Two people that are being taken out to be judged on a Dine Nefashos related matter. So V'dinon Shava, and they both did the same crime, they should have the same fate. Zayar V'zeloyar. One of the people who was sick got better and the other one didn't. Zay Nitzal V'zelo Nitzal. One of the people that was being Nidon got saved, the other one was not. How do you explain the discrepancy in what happened to each of them at the end? It must be one of them davened and was answered, the other one was davened and was not answered. So that just shifts the question. Why was one of them answered or one of them not answered? The one that was answered must have davened really nicely. He must have had full kavana in his tefillah, and therefore nen. The Zaloas Palat Tefillah Shleima
lo nana. And the one that did not daven properly, did not daven a tefillah shlema, was not properly answered. So you see, maisim b'chol yom, that things like this happen, that two people have the same illness and they suffer totally, and they experience totally different outcomes. So it must be that there's a difference in their tefillah. Rabbi Lazar Amar kan kodem gzardin, kan liachar gzardin. The guy who was nespal v'nana is because he davened before the gzardin. The guy who was nespal v'lo nana must have davened after, it was too late, after the gzardin. So a different explanation. Not because davened a tefillah shlema versus not a tefillah shlema. Could be they davened with the same kavana. Both davened a tefillah shlema. But one davened too late. One davened after the gzardin. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar Yafa tzak al adam bein kodem gzardin bein liachar gzardin. Then no, if you daven really well, it works even after the gzardin. So you see that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yitzchak, that according to Rabbi Lazar, a gzardin of a yachid cannot be torn up. So if it's after the gzardin, you're just too late to the show, too late to be mispalel, and it's not going to help. Whereas according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it's always good to daven. Even after gzardin, it's going to be helpful. So we see this very inyan of whether gzardin shal yachid can be torn up al yidei tefila is in fact a machlokas tanaim. So now the Gemara goes back and asks, wait a second, about the gzardin shal tzibur, we said that can always be torn up. A gzardin shal tzibur, when people do tshuva, that could be torn up. A gzardin tzibur mi mikra, is that true? Meaning we said right now that it's tali and yachid versus tzibur, that yachid is a machlokas tanaim, whether it could be torn up. Tzibur for sure could be torn up. Is that true that it's a gzardin shal tzibur could be torn up? V'akos v'echad omer, we have one pasuk that says, Kabsi meira alibech Yerushalayim mantivashi. The pasuk says that tshuva works to be mechaper on the averus of the tzibur uksiv, and yet the pasuk also says kiim techabsi b'neser v'tar b'loch baris nichtam avonech lefanai. That Kodesh Baruch Hu says even if you do tshuva, the stain of your averus is going to remain in front of me. So you see that tshuva doesn't help to erase the stain of the avera. So my love, kan kodem gzardin, kan liachar gzardin. How do we reconcile these pesukim? Isn't the only way to reconcile it that before gzardin you do tshuva and you can have a kapara, but after the gzardin it's too late? So even though we're talking about a tzibur over here, it says Merlo, idividi lacha gzardin. Merlo kasha, kan gzardin sheish moshvua, kan gzardin sheini moshvua. Another nuance of detail, another factor is introduced, that a gzardin shel tzibur can be torn up. Even after the gzardin, you can do tshuva and tear up the gzardin shel tzibur, but only if there's no shvua together with the gzardin. If there's a shvua together with the gzardin, then a gzardin shel tzibur cannot be torn up. Where do we find a gzardin that has a shvua together with it? Kedrav Shmuel Barami, Damer of Shmuel Barami, Varmi Lamer of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan, Minayin the gzardin sheish moshvu sheinu nikra. How do I know a gzardin that has a shvua accompanying it, that it doesn't get torn up? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, when it talks about the two bnei Eli, the sons of Eli that sinned, and they had a gzera that they were going to die b'yom echad, and all of their children are yamusu anashim, they're all going to die young men. So it says, that Hashem took a shvua that no amount of karbonos is going to be mischaper for the bnei Eli. Even a zevach and a mincha and apparently the sin of the bnei Eli is considered an avonat tzibur. It's considered a communal avera. Why is it considered a communal avera? So the Ritva writes because they were a mishpacha shlema b'Yisrael. They were a full family in Klal Yisrael. So that counts as a tzibur. Word, the Ran says differently. It's because the Gzardin was on all future generations. So if we're only on the Bnei Eli, so that's Yechidim. But it's on Bnei Eli, it's on all of the family of the Bnei Eli. So that's all future generations. And that's why it's considered gzardin shel tzibur. But you see, here's a gzardin sheyeshim o shvua, and that gzardin is always in place. Amar Rava, Rava says, you know, when it says that there's not going to be a kapara for the Bnei Eli, it sounds so harsh, right? That even a zevach and a mincha is not going to be mischaper. Rava says, yeah, but mechlal lav ato shemei hein. If you look carefully, it tells you what won't work, so you could figure out what will work to give Bnei Eli some sort of a longer lifespan. B'zevach mincha in a mischaper, of mischaper b'Torah, HaKadosh Baruch is giving us the hint that there is a way for them to have kapara. They could have kapara through Torah. Abayam that there are two things it could do, not only Torah, but also Gemilas Chasadim. Rabba v'Abaye mid Beis Eli Kasu. Both Rabba and Abaye were descendants of the Beis Eli. Rabba da'asak b'Torah chayar ban shnin. Rabba learned Torah and therefore he lived for 40 years. The Beis Eli are not supposed to live more than 18 years. He lived for 40 years, got an extra 22 years of life because he was osik b'Torah. Abaye da'asak b'Torah Gemilas Chasadim chayashit in shnin. Abaye was osik in both Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, so he lived for 60 years. So you see that the Torah and the Gemilas Chasadim are going to extend the life of the Bnei Eli. So it's interesting that the Gemara is very clear over here that Abaye was a Kohen, that he descended that Rabba and Abaye were both Kohanim. They descended from the Beis Eli. There's a Paras Yosef in the back of the Gemara, Maseches Megillah of Zayin. The Gemara over there says that Rabba sent Mishloach Manos through Abaye. He used Abaye as a shliach to send Mishloach Manos. So it says Paras Yosef, Abaye was a Kohen. There's Allah, you're not allowed to be Mishtamish B'Kohen. So how could it be that Rabba was Mishtamish B'Kohen? It's Allah Psuk and Shulchan Aruch. And Luchas Nesias Kapayim, in Kuv Chav Ches, you're not supposed to send the Kohen to do errands for you. So how is he allowed to send the Kohen to go be Mishloach Manos? So the Paras Yosef says that you're allowed to be Mishtamish B'Kohen if he's your Talmud. The Gemara says, Hamunea Talmido Milasham Show is Monea Mimenu Chesed, the Gemara Ksuva says. That a Talmud wants to be able to do for the Rebbe, and that Adrabi, he's supposed to be Mishamish Milchamim. So to prevent him from doing things like that is Monea Mimenu Chesed. In the Tshuvas Ksav Sofer, he writes, in Archaim Sim Tezvav, that a Rav shouldn't tell this Talmud is going to do things, because maybe the Talmud is not Mochel Belev Shalem, and he has to really want to do it. He has to want to do it on his own, but the Rebbe shouldn't tell the Talmud to do things if the Talmud is a Kohen. Paras Yosef also says, well, you know, it wasn't only Abaye who was a Kohen. Rabba was also a Kohen. So it says that Rabba sent Mishloach Manos through Abaye. A Rabba could be Mishtamish B'Kohen. He's a Kohen himself, so a Kohen could be Mishtamish B'Kohen. And that's why it's not a problem at all. So based on that a Rav is allowed to be Mishtamish B'Talmidu a Kohen, in the Tshuva Zerah Chaim, he was asked about going to a doctor who's a Kohen. Is that called being Mishamish B'Kohen? So the answer is obvious that the Kohen is Mochel. He wants to see patients. He became a doctor so that he could see patients. He didn't become a doctor so that no one will show up and because everyone's afraid to be Mishamish B'Kohen. So obviously he's Mochel B'Lev Shalem in such a case. Okay, so anyway, so that's how you can get around the curse of the Bnei Eli, either by being Osik B'Torah, so that's partial, you get partial kapara for that, or Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, in which case the Abaye lived for 60 years. There was one family where they were suffering Nebuchadnezzar's untimely deaths. Everyone was dying at the age of 18. They let Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai know about this, and they asked him, why is this happening? Maybe you're from the family of Eli. It's called Ish. So maybe that's what it means, that you're going to die at the age of 18. So the Eitzah is, go learn Torah, v'chiyu, and then you'll be able to live. So they went and they learned Torah, and it worked. And they called that family Mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan. They named it after Rabbi Yochanan because he's the one that gave them the ability to live. So what Chida says, why did he tell them just to learn Torah? Didn't we just learn that learning Torah would buy you like an extra couple of decades? But Torah and Gemilas Chasadim will get you a couple of more decades. Why didn't he tell them to do both? So it could be that he knew that they were already Osek in Gemilas Chasadim. So he wanted them to do more. Which is fascinating, because apparently the Gemilas Chasadim wasn't working. Maybe the Gemilas Chasadim only works if you also learn Torah. But if it's Chesed that's not based in Torah, then the Chesed is not going to work. Or says the Chida, maybe the Zechus of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was omid lahem that he said the chuvos of Torah and tzad goes across Baruch Mekayim, and even without Gemilas Chasadim they were going to be able to survive. And others suggest that he said go learn Torah, and through learning Torah then you'll know to be osik in Gemilas Chasadim. Otherwise you're not going to without the Torah, like we were saying before, the Gemilas Chasadim may be empty without the Torah. You're not going to be motivated to do Gemilas Chasadim, or you're not going to even know what Gemilas Chasadim is without Torah. The Gemilas Chasadim that a person does has to be motivated by Torah. You see, very often that people that are bereft of Torah but are good-hearted people have all sorts of ideas that are very much against what we're supposed to be doing. A person has to learn Torah in order to know what true chesed really is. So it's also interesting that they called the whole family Mishpachas Rabbi Yochanan. They called it Rabbi Yochanan's family because he's the one that brought them into existence. I once wrote an article about naming babies, how to choose a name for a child. So you do have it a lot of times in Shas that a baby is named after someone who gave a psak or something that brought about that child's birth, that brought about the existence or the survival of that child. So here's another example of that. Amra, so everyone should be named after like fertility doctors, right? There should be a bunch of kids that. But anyway, so Amra of Shmuel bar Inya Mishmei Derav. Minayin l'gzardin shel tzibur sheinu nechtam. How do I know gzardin of a tzibur is not nechtam, that's never going to be sealed? Says Amra, einu nechtam vaksiv nechtam avonaych lefanai. What do you mean it's not going to be sealed? It says nechtam avonaych lefanai. Now nechtam is with a chaf, not with a ches, but nechtam means the stain, like a kesem. A kesem means it's a lasting stain. So don't you see that it remains lasting? So you see that there must be a chasima sadin. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a lasting stain on our record. Ella, no, what Rav Shmuel bar Inya meant was afalgav shenechtam nikra, that even though the gzardin is going to be of the tzibur is going to be sealed, but it will also be torn up. Shnamar kashem elokeinu bechol kareinu elav. That Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to us whenever we call out to him. Vaksiv dir shashem b'imatzo. But doesn't the pasuk say that Hashem is only, you should only seek out Hashem when he's available? You know, kirubi also karav, call out to him when he's karav, when he's close to us. So hasam b'yachid hacha b'tzibur. When it's a yachid, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not always available to the yachidim, but when it comes to a tzibur, Kodesh Baruch Hu is always available. B'yachid emas. When is that time that Kodesh Baruch Hu is available to the yachidim? Samarav baravua ilu asar yam shmei rashanim yam kipurim. Dafka during the asaris yimei tshuva, Kodesh Baruch Hu is available even to Yechidim. So the pasuk says by David HaMelech that he sent Naval a message that he should provide mezonos for his servants of Bishar, that they watched over Naval's sheep, and Naval refused to do that. Not only that, he was Mevaza David. So what was the punishment that Naval had? Naval is one of the people, Gemara says in Brachos, Kishmo Kenhu, that he was a Menuval, he was a Naval. So that's why his name reflected what he was, what his attitude was like. So the pasuk says, Vayika Seres Hayamim Vayugov Hashem as Naval, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused the Magefa against Naval. So the Gemara says, Asar Yom Mayavitayu, it takes one day for a person to die. What's the 10 days? That it was 10 days and then Hashem punished Naval. Well, what was the 10-day reprieve? So Amar Avidom Rav, Keneged Eser Ligimo Shenosan Naval La'Avdei David. He got a 10-day reprieve because he provided 10 meals worth to the Avdei David. So that was something. Because of the 10 meals that he gave the Avdei David, he got a 10-day delay on his Gzardin. Nachman Amar Baravua Ilu Asar Yom Shemin Roshon Yom Kippurim. No, it's because of Asar Yisimei Tshuva that a person has an opportunity to do Tshuva for 10 days. Some of the Acharim understand that this means that it was literally during the Asar Yisimei Tshuva. They say, no, it's connected the Asar Yisimei Tshuva. That just like we have Asar Yisimei Tshuva each and every year, Naval was given his own Asar Yisimei Tshuva. He was given his 10 days to be able to do Tshuva. And the Mishnah said, Rosh Hashanah kol bayi olam in front of Kivnei Maron. Then Rosh Hashanah, everyone passed in front of Hashem Kivnei Maron. My Kivnei Maron, what does Kivnei Maron mean? So it says, Mar hacha tagimu Kivnei Amarna. Like Kivnei Maron means like sheep, that just like the sheep that you count for Meiser Behema, you count them one by one in order to make sure that every 10th sheep gets marked off as Meiser Behema, so too we pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu one by one on Rosh Hashanah. Yishlach Hashemar Kimalu Space Maron. It's like going up this narrow incline where they need to go single file, otherwise they'll fall off the cliff. So we go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu also single file. Ravidam Rishmul Kachayol Shabbos David. Like the soldiers in David's army, that they would count them on their way out to war to make sure that there was a head count and they knew exactly how many soldiers were going out and how many soldiers were coming back in. All three explanations mean that we go in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu one by one. So that's what the Balei Agada and the people who the Balei Drush come up with different explanations of why we need these three, what these three models are of judgment in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? One classical explanation is that Kivnei Amarna means we're being judged as sheep, we're being judged as followers. Not only are we supposed to be leaders, we're very often called upon to be followers. We have to know how to follow our leaders, how to follow our Gedolei Torah. So sheep follow the shepherd, so we're being judged. Were we good as followers? Malus Beis Maron maybe represents the idea of growing, of always going up, that we're being judged, not only by where we're stationed right now, but are we headed in the right direction? What's our trajectory? Are we going up? And Chayelo Shel Beis David is like a battalion in an army. Each person has their own avoda and their own role. And if you don't fulfill your role, even though it seems like a lesser role than somebody else, the whole thing will fall apart. If you don't have people that are that are preparing the uniforms, you don't have people that are cleaning the guns, you don't have people that, so even though it may seem like a lesser role than some other people, the whole army won't function without them. So we're being judged by whether we're fulfilling our roles in Klal Yisrael. That's one of many, many, many different interpretations that the Baal HaDrush have of why it is that there are three explanations in the Gemara of what Kivnei Maron means. Amar Rabbi Chanan Rabbi Yochanan, that even though we pass in front of Hashem one by one, this is the less often quoted part of the Gemara. V'kulin eskarim b'skira achas. Hashem looks at all of us at one time. He then looks at the whole crowd. Amar Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak Ben Anami Tanina. We find in our Mishnah that we're all niskarim b'skira achas, because the Mishnah brings a raya that we're over in the front of Kivnei Maron from a pasuk. Hayotzer yachal libam hameven al kol maaseyem. What does that pasuk mean? My kama. What does it mean? A yotzer yachal libam. Ilema hachi kama debrinu lukulei alma umiyachli libayu kadadi. Does it mean that Hashem makes the lave of everybody the same? That people have the same personalities, the same desires, the same wants, the same needs, the same weaknesses, the same vulnerabilities? Is that true? V'kachzinu delav hachi. We know that's not true. That can't mean, or that can't be what a yotzer yachal libam means. Elav hachi kama. No, it must mean that the pasuk is telling me hayotzer roeh yachad libam, that the yotzer is able to see their lave all at the same time. Umevin kol maseim, and by looking b'skira achas, by looking at one panoramic view of Klal Yisrael, Hakadosh Baruch Hu sees what makes each of us tick and what makes each of us different from each other. Period. Now we move on to a new topic. The Mishnah discusses sending Shluchei Beis Din to let people know about about when Rosh Chodesh is. It used to be in the times that we had a Sanhedrin, we were Mekadesh Shluchei Chodesh al pi Ariya. We waited for Edim to come, and we'd be Mekabel the Edim, and they would be made about the Molad HaLevana, and that's when Beis Din was Mekadesh Shluchei Chodesh, and that became the first day of the month. And all of the and that was critical to know, because we had to, and then Beis Din right away send out Shluchim to distant places to let people know, both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz, when Beis Din was Mekadesh L'Chodesh, so that they'll be able to observe the Yom Tovim properly. And in places that the Shluchim did not reach, they made a Yom Tov Sheni, because they didn't know if Rosh Chodesh was Nikva on the 30th day of the previous month, or the 31st day from the previous Rosh Chodesh. And then once we stopped being Mekadesh L'Chodesh Al Pi Ariya, they were knowing to be Kover Rosh Chodesh Al Pi Haluach, like we have now. There's a Luach set up, and they're knowing in Eretz Yisrael always to keep one day of Yom Tov, in Chutz Laaretz to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Now the Ritva points out, well, wait a second, when they were Mekadesh Al Pi Ariya, there were places in Chutz Laaretz that got the news in time for Yom Tov and knew to only keep one day of Yom Tov. And guess what? There were places in Eretz Yisrael that didn't get the news in time and had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. But says the Ritva, lo plug, since Al Pi Rov in Eretz Yisrael they found out, in Chutz Laaretz they didn't find out, so that's the way we keep it. In Chutz Laaretz we do 2 days of Yom Tov, in Eretz Yisrael we do 1 day of Yom Tov. It's against the Rambam. The Rambam assumes not that way. The Rambam assumes that no, we have to go back and look at where the Shluchei Beis Din arrived, and that's the Minhag HaSeim Yadayim that you're supposed to keep. The 2 days of Yom Tov for the places that the Shluchim did not arrive, even within Eretz Yisrael, and the 1 day of Yom Tov where the Shluchei Beis Din did arrive, even in Chutz Laaretz. We normally assume like the Ritva. Anyway, so Al Shisha Kadosh Mashluchim Yotzin. For 6 months, the Shluchim, there are 6 months for which it's important to send out the shluchim to let everybody know when there was a Kiddush HaChodesh. Rashi writes that they were Yotzei whether Beis Din was Ma'aber or whether it was Chaser. The question the Achronim are bothered with is why weren't they Mesakeh that the shluchim will only go out when Beis Din is Mekadesh L'Chodesh on the 30th day when it was a Chodesh Chaser? And if it was a Chodesh Malei, the absence of shluchim should tell everybody that it was a Chodesh Malei. Meaning, after all, isn't that what they did with the Masi and Masuos that we're going to see in a few days from now, that they would lift torches on the top of mountains so everyone could see. They didn't do it every month. They lifted the torches, dafka, in certain months, so when they were Mekadosh L'Chodesh early. So Tori Evan says that since it's Efshel Levar, why would we be somech on absence of evidence if you're able to provide evidence? So of course you should send the Shluchim out. So Asama says, no, that they were Choshesh, that maybe people aren't going to be somech on the fact that Shluchim hadn't arrived. They're going to say, oh, the Shluchim didn't come because they got caught up in the road, they got distracted, they got into an accident, a flat tire, but then they're not going to realize they're not going to realize that Shluchim weren't actually sent. So we send out Shluchim for everything. So Al Shisha Chadashim Shluchim Yotzin, we send out Shluchim whether we're ma'aber or not, says Rashi, but only for 6 months out of the year where it's really, really important to know in time to know whether they were ma'aber the chodesh or not. Al Nisan ne'Pesach, so for Nisan, certainly they had to do so for Pesach. Rashi says that they would travel up until Pesach except for on Shabbosos, and the same with Av and Tishrei. So the Acharon raised the question, why don't they keep on traveling on Pesach and Chol HaMoed? Maybe they can get there in time for Yom Tov Acharon Shel Pesach. At least that they should be able to get right. But Rashi says, no, they would only travel up until Pesach. Al Av Mipreya Tainis, they would go out on Chodesh Av in order to let people know when Tisha B'Av is going to be, either Bizman Chorban Abayis when they observe Tisha B'Av, or if you assume like that daya that even Bizman Bayasheni they were Masana B'Tisha B'Av, so during Bizman Bayasheni they would have to go out to let people know about Tisha B'Av, right? Because Tisha B'Av is about the Chorban Abayis. So what were they, if there was a base of Migdash, what are they going out telling everyone when Tisha B'Av is going to be? They didn't have to, there was no fast. Elamai, some hold that Bayasheni they did have Tisha B'Av because they were still commemorating the Chorban of the first base Hamikdash, and the second base Hamikdash was nothing in comparison to the first base Hamikdash. That's what the Navi says, that in the days of when they came back after Galus Bavel and they built the second base Hamikdash, the young people were so happy and the older people were crying, and the older people were saying, we remember what a real base Hamikdash, we remember how beautiful the first base Hamikdash was, and that this pales in comparison. I think Rav Shachter just told us that when they had the Chag HaSmicha, the first Chag HaSmicha in YU many, 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 many years ago, and Dr. Revel asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik to deliver the address to the Musmachim, so he said over that pasuk, and he said that he remembers what a Rav used to look like in Europe. So he said, everyone here is celebrating and is so happy. I'm crying. I'm looking at the kind of Rabbanim that we're producing in America that doesn't compare to what a Rav was in Europe. So Dr. Revel didn't know what to do with himself, but it was supposed to be a celebration, and he, whatever. Okay, So al elul mei Rosh Hashanah, and on elul for Rosh Hashanah, in order that they should know when Rosh Chodesh El is going to be, because on the 30th day after that, you have to celebrate Rosh Hashanah. Al tishrei mei takonos hamoados, and they would go out for Tishrei to let people know when Yom Kippur is and when Sukkot is. Al Kislev Mipnei Chanukah, and they have to go out to let people know about Kislev for Chanukah to know when Chafei Kislev is going to be. Val Adar Mipnei Purim, and for an Adar for Purim, Ukshay Besamikshkayim Yotzen Af Al Iyar Mipnei Pesach Katan. And when there was a Besamikdash around, they would go out even for Chodesh Iyar as well because of Pesach Sheni, and people had to be aware of when Pesach Sheni was. The Tori Evan writes that we have to be Goris Yotzen Al Iyar without the word Af, because Mashmos of Af al Iyar is that there were 7 months that would go out, that we're adding an extra one. But it's not true, because Bizman and Bayis, they wouldn't go out al Av Mipnei Atayinis, because they were not Misana at all. So one was switched out for the other, meaning when there was a Beis Hamikdash around, they'd go out for Iyar, because there was Pesach Sheni, and there was no, but not Av, because there was no Tisha B'Av. When it's not Bizman Beis Hamikdash, they would go out for Av, but not for Iyar. There's no reason to know Pesach Sheni. The Rambam, however, in the Pirush Mishnayis writes that Bebayis Sheni, like we mentioned before, they would fast on Tisha B'Av, and therefore there is this Af. It is a seventh month that they would go out, because even when during Bayis Sheni, they would still have to. Even during Bayis Sheni, they would still have to go out for Chodesh Av. So says Gemara, the Mishnah said that they would only go out for these 6 months. Why don't we send out Shluchim for Chodesh Tammuz and Chodesh Teves? They also have fast days. There's a Shavasar B'Tammuz, there's a Sar B'Teves. Meaning we're willing to send out Shluchim for Chodesh Av because there's Tisha B'Av. Why is Tammuz and Teves any less? So the Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar B'Shem Chasida, Maidichsev, what does the Pasuk mean in the Navi Zechariah when he sends a message to those who asked after the Binyan Bayis Sheni whether they have to continue to cry and to fast on the Dalet Somos? Because after all, now we have a Beis HaMikdash, so we said, Ko Amar Hashem Tzavakos, so says Hashem, Tzom HaRavi, Tzom HaChemishi, Tzom HaShvi, Tzom HaSiri, Yeh LeBeis Yehuda LeSasun LeSimcha. No need to fast on these fast days anymore. Now they're going to be days of Sasun and Simcha. So I asked the Gemara, Kari Luhu Tzom, V'Kari Luhu Sasun and Simcha. How can he call them Tzom and at the same time call them days of Sasun and Simcha? If they're going to turn to Sasun and Simcha, you shouldn't call them a Tzom anymore. He should have said, Hayamim Shahayu Tzom, Yehuda LeSasun LeSimcha. Why does he refer to them as Tzom Arvi, Tzom HaChemishi? So it must be Bizman Shiyeh Shalom, that the rule is that when there's going to be Shalom, which Machlok Shishanim, whether it just means that the Gayim don't control us, or it means when there's a Beis HaMikdash, Yehuda LeSasun LeSimcha, then it's going to be Sasun and Simcha. But ain't Shalom, when there's no Shalom, then Tzom, then they're going to go right back to being Tzom. So now, therefore the Gemara's Kasha is a strong Kasha. Why not send out Shluchim for Tammuz and Teves? Bizmana Mishnah, the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed when they were writing these Mishnayas, because it says in the Mishnah, Bizman Shabbos Beis HaMikdash Hoya Kayim, so it sounds like it was already in past tense, and there was the Gayim were in control of us, so it should have been a time of Tzom. So why aren't we sending out Shluchim for that? So Amar Papa Hachika Amar. Now this is how we dash in the Pasuk. Bizman Shiyeh Shalom, you, the Sasun Simcha. When there's Shalom, it should be Sasun Simcha. Yesh Gzeres HaMalchus. When there's Gzeres Shmad, then Tzom. But Ein Gzeres HaMalchus Vein Shalom. If you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but there's also no Gzeres HaMalchus, then Ratzu Misanin, Ratzu Ein Misanin. Then we have the option of fasting or not fasting. Machlokes Rishonim, what that means. We have the option of fasting or not fasting. Who has the option of fasting or not fasting? The Rambam holds that each and every individual gets to decide if they're going to observe these fast days or not. And if I feel like I want to, I can. If I feel like I don't want to, then I don't have to. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam and the Rush write that no, it's not up to the individual, it's Talib Rov Yisrael, that if Rov Yisrael decides that they're going to make fast days out of this, they make fast days out of it. But if Rov Yisrael decides that they're not going to make fast days out of it, then nobody makes a fast day out of it. So since Bizman HaMishnah, it wasn't a time of Shemad, but it also wasn't a time of Shalom, so it was Tali in their own what they wanted. So you have a stira in the Pasuk, it's not a stira. The Torah is saying you have options. It could be a time of Tzom, or it could be a time of Sasun Simcha. Ihachi Tishbav Nami. So if it's Tali in their Ratzon, so Tishbav should also be Tali in their Ratzon. And why do we have to send out Shluchim for Tishrei? It also depends on whether people are interested in fasting Tishbav or not. So, what? For Tisha B'Av, I meant. So it should also be Tali in their Ratzon. So Amar Papa, Shiny Tisha B'Av, Hol V'Huch Blu Bo Tzaros. That Tisha B'Av is different because there are so many Tzaros that happen on Tisha B'Av that Ratzon, it's not Tali in our Ratzon. Amar B'Tisha B'Av, Charev B'Ayis B'Rishona, U'B'Shniya, on Tisha B'Av, both Badi Mikdash were destroyed, V'Nilkada Beitar, and Beitar was captured in the days of Ben Kuziva, V'Nech Rashayir, and the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim was plowed over by Turnus Rufus, and since there were so many tzaros, so we have that, we observe Tisha B'Av as if it's a chov, even though the other fast days are totally in the ratzon of people. Asks Tosos in the top Tosos, Shivasu B'Tamos also had five things that happened. The Gemara Maseches Titus lists five things that happened Tisha B'Av, these same five that we just listed here, and five things that happened Shivasu B'Tamos. So says Tosos, yeah, but Churban Beis HaMikdash is bigger. So since Churban Beis HaMikdash happened in Tisha B'Av, so the five of Tisha B'Av are bigger than the five of Shavuos B'Tamos. Plus, he says, Churban Beis HaMikdash happened twice. So, Huch B'lu Bo Tzaros makes it even worse. The same Tzar being happening twice makes it even worse. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Arba Dvar Mayu Rabbi Akiva Dorish Va'ani, Ein Dorish Kamoso. There are four things Rabbi Akiva Darshan that I don't Darshan similar to him. Tzomar Vi Zetisha B'Tamos. Tzomar Vi is the ninth day of Tamos. Shabo Huvka Ir. Shademar B'chodesh Arvi B'tisha L'chodesh V'yachzakorav V'loi Alechem. That's when there was a siege laid on the city. Why is that called the Tzom HaRevi? Because Revi L'Chadashim, Tammuz is the fourth month from Nisan. Tzom HaChemishi is at Tisha B'Av, Shabo Nisaf Beis HaLkein. That's the day of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it called the Tzom HaChemishi? Chemishi L'Chadashim, Av is the fifth month. Tzom HaShvi is at Shlosha B'Tishrei. Tzom HaShlishi is the third day of Tishrei. Shabo Ner Gedali Ben Achikam. That's when Gedali Ben Achikam was killed. Umi Arago, Yishmol Ben Netanya Arago. And Yishmol Ben Netanya is the one one that killed him. The Achronim raised the question, that's a pasuk. I need the Gemara to tell me who killed him. The pasuk tells me who kills him. But that we have a fast day for the killing of Gedaliah ben Achikam tells me that the Misa Tzadikim is as significant an event as the burning of the Beis HaMikdash. Why do we call that the Tzoma Shvi? Shvi, L'chadashim, it's the seventh month of the year. Tzoma Asiris Asar B'Tevet Shabbos Samach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. That's when he started to siege on Yerushalayim. Shnemar v'idvar Hashem elai b'shana atchiz b'chodesh ha'asiri b'asol chodesh neymar b'nadam k'sav l'cha l'shem ha'yom l'aset sam ha'yom l'zeh samach melech bavel al Yerushalayim. V'amar kari le asiri. Why is it called asiri? Asiri l'chadashim, because it's the 10th month of the year. V'alo ha'yor ro'i zeh l'chtov rishon. Really, the last of these events should have been mentioned first, because chronologically it was the first one to happen. V'lama nichtav kan. Why is it written last? K'dei l'hasir chadash because we're going in order of the months, not in order of the events that actually happened. But I don't say this way. I think Tzoma Asiri is not Asar B'Teves. Zechamisha B'Teves. It's the fifth day of Teves. What happened then? That's when the Shmua came to the Golos, the people who were in Bavel, that Yerushalayim was destroyed. And they made a tainus on that day. And I think I am more correct, says Rabbi Shimon, than Rabbi Akiva is. Because going to my interpretation, the pasuk is listing the days in chronological order. He's flipping the order, because according to him, Tzoma Asiri, which is written last, happened first. Rabbi Kiva obviously learns the pasuk that it's going in order of the months. So since the 10th month is after the 7th month, so that's why it's listed where it is in the pasuk. But I think the pasuk is listing the events in order that they actually happened, the chronology that they actually happened. Okay, we fell a little bit behind, but tomorrow's a shorter daf, so Bez Hashem will pick up at Itmar tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you.